Psalm 116, we'll begin reading in verse 12, read three verses. I asked Faith to post on our Facebook page and our social media accounts at the church. I said, tell them to get their clock emojis ready, because it's time. That's the name of the message tonight. It's time. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And it's a question. It's not a statement. It's a question. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. What's that next word? Now. Now, in the presence of all his people. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He's asking a question. And here's his response. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. It's time. And now is the time. I read a quote and I love what it said. God is a worker, but he's not employed. God is a worker, but he's not employed. But also, God doesn't work for nothing. God chooses to do whatever he does to whomever he wants to, but he doesn't work for nothing. I believe when God works for us, it should render a response from us to thank him for working in our lives. Because when he works for those that call him his children. In fact, he works for those that don't even call him Lord, because he's working all things out for your good to point you to him for you to be saved. But for those of us that know him as a child of God, and the psalmist knew God well, and he obviously from this psalm, he talked to him on a regular occasion. And so this psalmist was going back in his mind and thinking about all the things that God had done for him. And when we begin to reflect and remember on how good God has been to us, thank God, on how good God has been to us, it should spark something on the inside to return to him what he's given to us. Remember, God works, but he doesn't work for nothing. He wants us to render a response to him. And when you think about how good God has been to you, really think about it. Did he mend you when you were broken? Did he bless you when you were burdened down? Did he lift you up when you were downtrodden? Did he comfort you when you were alone? Did he save your hell-bound soul? Did he lift you up? Did he redeem you? Did he cover you in his blood? Of course he did. And when you think about how good God has been to you, in spite of all the circumstances, in spite of your past, in spite of what's going on right now, when you think about what he's done, the psalmist said, what shall I render unto him? God doesn't work for nothing. He wants us to respond in a way that says, God, I thank you for your goodness. Amen. Amen. And when we begin to think about that, something spontaneous in our spirit should come out and to thank him for what he's done. And now is the time. It's time. Now is the time. This psalmist, it was attributed that David wrote this psalm and he reflects around all that God was doing. And in verse 12, he asked a very good question. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Verses 1 through 11, he began to start thinking about all the things that God had done for him. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm just driving down the road all by myself and I begin to think about all the benefits and all the blessings, all the bad times I've been through. Amen. Let me say that word again. Through everything he's brought me through, the family I've been blessed with, the heritage that I've been blessed with, the lines are falling unto me in the pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I think about where I've been and where I could have been, and I ask myself that same question. Lord, what can I do for you? What shall I render unto the Lord? I mean, what are you going to do for a God that has everything, a God that does everything, and a God that is everything? That's a good question. What shall we render unto the Lord? But David responds, here's what I'll give him. Verse 13, I will give him the cup of my salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all these people. Now I want you to notice, and this is a good question. We need to ask ourselves this same question. If he's been good to us, what shall we render unto the Lord? What are we going to give back to him? Well, first of all, he said, I'm going to take the cup of my salvation. That cup refers to waiting. And if you just bear with me a little bit, I want to explain to you what he's referring to here in this song. Just stick with me and I promise you we're going to get blessed at the end of this first point. But this cup refers to waiting. Awaiting. He talks about, he says, when I think about all these things, he said, I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. He talks about a time in the future when he's going to make up his mind to be determined, I'm going to do this to give thanks and to give praise back to God. Now what he was referring to here, this cup of salvation, is not just some old cup. This is actually referring to what they call a peace offering. And a peace offering is actually made up of three separate offerings. Now let me just explain to you these very, very quickly. And hopefully I want to hope you understand what I'm trying to get out. This cup of salvation, it's a peace offering. There's three separate offerings for this peace offering. Number one, there's the thank offering or the thanksgiving offering. And this is what they would do, a thanksgiving offering, is they would offer it to God as a payment of a vow or a free expression of goodwill. You know what they were saying? They said, God has provided for me, Tom. God has taken care of me. It should be a goodwill of me just to go back and thank him and give him an offering of thanksgiving. That's what this cup represented. Then also, not only this peace offering in this cup of salvation was a thanksgiving offering, but also there was a free will offering in this peace offering. This free will offering was you're thanking God for his unexpected generosity. The times in your life when he just drops a handful on purpose. And you say, Lord, you've been so good to me. I just got to thank you. Out of my free will, I'm just going to thank you for this unexpected generosity. If you've been married or if you're struggling when you're first married, there's nothing more precious than to not tell anybody except God. There's nothing more precious than to tell nobody but God what you needed. And then just like God, he just, boop, just drops it. And you pick it up. And you know what we do? We free will give it back to him and say, thank you, Lord. You didn't have to, but out of my own free will, I'm going to give back to you for what you've given me. This peace offering was a thanksgiving offering, a free will offering, but there was also a vow offering in this peace offering. And a vow offering was a special offering that you give as an answer to prayer. If God had answered a prayer in your life or your family's life, you would offer this offering as a way to say, Lord, thank you. You've answered my prayer. Now I'm going to vow a vow. I'm going to give it back to you. You say, well, Brian, the old last skill, what does this have to do with David? What does this have to do with the cup of salvation? Well, in this peace offering, I found this to be very interesting. They would offer sacrifice. But this sacrifice was different than other sacrifices, like in a burnt offering. This sacrifice was the only sacrifice that God would allow them to eat. And so what they would do, they would take this peace offering, they would offer sacrifice. The high priest would always get the best cut of meat. And then the priest would come to your home. Now think about this. And they would take the leftovers of what the high priest didn't eat, and they would give the second best to the priest. And then the family, you and your family, would get the leftovers of what was left over in that sacrifice. And then what this priest would do is after he would offer and they would thank God for what he had supplied, he would take a cup and he would drink it and he would pass it around to the family. Now catch this. Everyone sitting at the table and everyone in the family had an opportunity to get blessed by the cup. Okay, you say, now Brian, what are you talking about? I'm saying sometimes us that are impatient want the blessing now. But what you have to understand, it's coming around the table. You just got to wait on it. He said, I will take the cup of salvation. He says, I know there may be some others that are standing in front of me that deserve it. But I'll wait my turn. I'll wait my turn. And when it comes, I will gladly take the cup of salvation. And listen, I heard a preacher the other day say this, and it applies right to this. He said, if you get upset that your neighbor's getting blessed, he said, don't get upset. That means God's in the neighborhood. And he just hasn't made it to your house yet. said, hallelujah. Thank God. That's why I don't get upset when my neighbor over here gets blessed or my neighbor over here gets blessed, because I know one day soon he's coming to my house and I'm going to be blessed if I just wait on him. Hallelujah. He's in the neighborhood. He just hasn't made it to your house. Glory. And this thank offering, again, this peace offering, the only sacrifice that they were allowed to eat, they were eating the leftovers. In fact, when they would offer the leftovers and they would offer whatever was left over, I love this, anybody that was in the vicinity of the sanctuary was allowed to partake of what you offered to God. Now listen, how many of you love leftovers? You can raise your hand online, it's fine. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, chili isn't good till at least 2 days after you make it, right? Amen. I'm going to make you all hungry right now. Love leftovers. Actually, I would rather eat cold fried chicken. Okay. That's just me. I might like it hot too. I just like fried chicken. But I like it cold. I don't care. Leftover pizza? Eh. Not as good, but I'll eat it. Love leftovers. But, and you know, if you were raised in the generation before me, and even now, kids don't understand what good food is, but leftovers are good food. But there's a stigma that if, you know, I don't know where it came from, but that if you eat leftovers, that means that you are sort of impoverished. That means you ain't making it, that you ain't getting by. Folks, that's not what this peace offering was all about. It wasn't that God was running out. No, they were eating the leftovers. The leftovers mean there was an abundance. That means this family was living in the overflow of what God had blessed them with. And so they said, God, because we're eating of the abundance of what you've given us, we're going to give thanksgiving back to you. And he says, it may take a little bit, but I will wait. I will take the cup of salvation. And listen, folks, some of us don't understand. You're living in the overflow. Some of you have been able to make it through this time and you haven't gone without. In fact, you've got more than what you need. Why? Because you're living in the overflow. You're living in the abundance. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to tell us tonight is when he blesses us, we need to render back to him what he's blessed us with. And if he's been that good to you, now is the time to praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Living in the overflow, the abundance. God allow extra in the sacrifice for people to take. He said, not only will I take the cup of salvation, but then look at this. He said, I will call on the name of the Lord. The cup refers to waiting, but this call talks about his will. He says, I will willfully call on the name of the Lord. Why is that so important? Because he understood where the praise should be pointed to. He understood that the things that were happening in his life, he had nothing to do with. When are we going to understand, folks, what we have in our driveway, what we have in our garages, what we have in our homes, what we are wearing, it's not ours. God's just letting us borrow it for a while. Everything we have got from his hand. Every good gift and every perfect gift, every benefit comes from the hand of God. Amen. If you don't consider that, he'll take them away from you too. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'll willfully call. And in verses 1, 2, and 4, you'll see that he uses that term. I called upon the name of the Lord. And then verse 8 gives us the answer. He said, I called to him, and here's what he did for me. He said, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. That means he kept me from being a calamity. And then he said, he's delivered mine eyes from tears. That means he's delivered me from crying. And then he says, he's delivered my feet from falling. That means he's delivered me from collapsing. And he said, if he's been that good to me to keep me from being a casualty, to keep me from collapsing, to keep me from crying, he said, then I should be willing to call upon his name, not only in trouble, but in triumph. Listen, we are, it's always, and we should call upon the name of the Lord in triumph. times of trouble. But may I remember when He brings you through it, now you should still call on the name of the Lord in triumph and thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I called upon You when I was in trouble, and You answered me. You delivered me. Now I'm going to render the praise unto You because You deserve it. You're the one that brought me through it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In bad times, call on Him, but in good times, call on Him too. And when we call on Him, it should be intentional, because when He blesses us, He blesses us intentionally. Right? He just don't do it by happenstance. He just don't throw it out there and say, anybody wants to come and get it. No, He intentionally chooses to bless us. And if He intentionally chooses to bless us, we should intentionally choose to bless Him. Right? Now, if you get upset because people shout and people praise, if you get upset because we holler and we run, guess what? It's intentional. I'm sorry, but it's intentional. Those of you missing baseball right now, I know a lot of you are. Hey, it's a real important play in baseball, but if a pitcher has a situation when a guy comes up and he don't want to face him, but there's maybe an open base and he could get a better chance of getting some outs, you know what he'll do? He'll intentionally walk the batter. You know what that means? He meant to do it. He just didn't do it on accident. He had a made up mind. I'm going to intentionally walk this guy to put him on first base. And when we come, hey, I came here tonight intending on praising Him. I came here tonight intending on giving Him an offering. I came here intending tonight to praise Him. I came here intending tonight to smack the devil right in the face. I came here with the intention, and my mind's made up. I'm intentionally going to praise Him. And if you get upset, I'm sorry, but it's intentional. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, you people see people praise and holler, but you don't know what they've been through. You don't know the story behind the glory they're given. You don't know the heartache behind their hallelujah. You don't know the brokenness behind their blessing. You don't know. You don't know all the trouble they've been through and why they're triumphing now. Oh, you don't know their past behind their praise. But I'm telling you, if you can only see what's on the inside, it's intentional why they raise their hand. It's intentional why they praise God. It's intentional why they hop around this place. Why? Because you don't know where God's brought them from. Amen. Hallelujah. It's intentional. Hallelujah. He said, I will call upon the name of the Lord. But then notice, finally, the commitment. He said, what shall I render to God? He said, number one, I will take the cup. He said, I will call on the name of the Lord. But I'm going to be committed in my worship. He said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. He said, I'm looking ahead to a time almost in the future. He said, you know what? I'm thinking about it now. I think I will take the cup of salvation. I think I will call upon the name of the Lord. But then he said, you know what? Time's now. It's time now for me. Why am I waiting any longer? It's now. Time is now for me to praise and make a vow. You know what? Remember what I told you the vow offering was? The vow offering was to celebrate and answer for prayer. Lord, family, come and get ready to sing. It was to celebrate and answer to prayer. So if you're wondering when is the best time for me to praise God for what He's doing? Now. If you're wondering, hey, what should I do tomorrow? Well, what should I do about all this stuff going on? The time is now. Listen, it's now, it's now, it's now. Now's the time we need to celebrate what He's done for you. And listen, now's the time we need to celebrate what He's going to do. Why? Because if He's taking care of us yesterday, as Pastor preached this morning, He's with us today. And thank God the Great Shepherd will be with us tomorrow. And as long as we are committed to stand to our feet and to praise Him now, for what He's going to do. My friend, that's the answer to a great question. What are we going to render back to the Lord? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate for what He's done. We're going to celebrate for what He's doing. And we're celebrating what He's going to do. Thank God, now's the time. The time is now. If you're looking for a good place to shout, now's the time. If you're looking for a good place to pray, now's the time. If you're looking for a good place to give, now's the time. Don't wait till tomorrow. Now's the time.